This is episode one of Becoming a Strategist. In this episode, you will take away three things. Number one, what is the meaning of a strategist? Number two, a story of a successful strategist who turned around the New York City. And number three, three critical skills needed to be an effective strategist. What is the strategist in your opinion? When I ask this question to participants in my strategy programs and strategy facilitation workshops, people usually answer this in some of the following ways. Number one, someone who is a great planner. B, someone who is a great visionary. C, someone who is a great leader. And finally, someone who is very effective in achieving goals. Well, these are rough proxies of what a great strategist is. And thus I ask people to tell me, all right, give me a few names of strategists which you think were great. And people often come up with military names. People talk about Napoleon and Alexander. So when I ask people, all right, give me some names in business. Some of the names that come up are usually CEOs of well-known companies or some other well-known business leaders. Let's consider three. Number one, Michael Dell, who created an awesome strategy that allowed him to enter a difficult-to-enter business, a difficult-to-enter industry, and build a very profitable business there. Number two, Jack Welch, who took GE to new heights and made it a much larger and a more profitable growth engine. More recently, startups like Dollar Shave Club entered a difficult-to-enter industry, that is the shave care industry, and built an enviable position in a very short time period. These are examples of some great leaders or companies that have created great strategies, but they do not really answer the question, what is a strategist? And more importantly, they don't answer, who is a great strategist? I guess then the next question is, what does a strategist do? An even bigger question is, what is a strategy? People often think that a strategy is a plan or a path to achieve a goal. Actually, the word strategy comes from the Greek word stratego, which roughly translates to a general's view. This refers to the broad, sweeping view of the battlefield that the general has. And therefore, strategy often refers to a holistic view of the business. In business, a strategist is supposed to chart a path to achieve business goals. These goals for a business are profits, growth, and survival. A surefire way to achieve this goal is to build a strong and sustainable position in an industry. A position that protects your business from ongoing changes from the environment and changes in competition. Thus, to summarize what a strategist does, is to create a strong and sustained position for a business. Yes, a CEO is the ultimate strategist, but even the chief strategy officer can do a lot of this work that requires a business to create a sustained competitive advantage. If you work in the strategy team, then you know that all the operational effectiveness projects that you do are aimed at building that sustainable advantage. Even if you are not a CEO, a chief strategy officer, or work in a strategy function, you need to build strategy skills. These skills are needed for you to create high impact in your role. You need it if you are in the C-suite for sure, but you also need it if you are in any leadership team in your organization. Even at lower levels, for example, as a brand manager or a supply chain manager of a brand, you need these skills. These skills help you connect with the organizational strategy and thus create higher impact with your day-to-day actions. some of the most effective HR managers that I have come across are great strategists and have a keen sense of their business. In short, strategy skills are critical for your long-term career success in business. So next question that comes up is, how can one become a good strategist? Well, to be an effective strategist, you need to build or have three critical skills. Let's see what these skills are in the next segment. To understand the three core skills of a strategy, let me take you through a story of a strategist, William Bratton, who turned around New York City. When you visit New York City today, you find a high-energy, electrifying place where you can feel safe and have an amazing time. But it was not always so. In fact, New York City used to be the exact opposite place at one time. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, the city was infested with crime. It was dirty and not a really a great place to visit. Back then, there were many homeless people on the street. There were gangs, there were drugs, peddlers, there was graffiti on the street, beggars and criminals. All of these things made life difficult to enjoy the city. Back then, people were really fed up with the city. People who grew up in the city back then tell me that they were told not to go out after dark, and people used to avoid Times Square most of the time. Crime rate was very high at that time. The state of the city was also reflected in the state of the New York's police department back then. The department was in a state of learned helplessness. The force was demoralized. Criminals had better guns than officers did. Corruption and lack of trust within the department made it hard for anyone to fight against crime. In fact, as a department priority, fighting crime was not even in the top five priorities. Paperwork and following the process and writing summons were some of the things that became or came at a higher priority than fighting crime. In fact, new officers were sent to fight crime while the tenured officers used to stay back. I mean, who wants to go dodge bullets in such a difficult situation? Now, this is not very different from many organizations that I have seen. I am sure you may have seen organizations that go through periods of learned helplessness. After failing to achieve basic goals, people tend to get trapped into a state of this learned helplessness. It is one of the worst experiences you can have working in an organization. So it is clear that a demoralized force with a lack of trust and lack of resources didn't believe the problem of New York City could be solved. When there is a time of major crisis, it is also a time of major opportunity. Back then, Rudy Giuliani saw an opportunity in this crisis and ran for the mayor of the city. His promise was that he would clean the city. Since he made a great case to the people of New York, and people were really fed up with being in that state, they elected him the mayor. Now, a good leader relies on great people to get the job done. And this is what Giuliani did. He scanned the country and identified William Bratton to be the ideal person for the job of NYPD chief. Now, Bratton had started his career as a beat cop in a rough neighborhood in Boston. And then he rose to become the head of MBTA, the agency responsible for transportation in Massachusetts. He eventually became the commissioner of Boston Police Department. As a charismatic and a bold guy, Bratton showed a lot of promise. By the time Bratton walked into his new role, he had a well-developed plan. So he said, instead of fighting crime, we will prevent crime. That was a pretty counterintuitive idea, given how difficult it was to even fight crime. People looked at him and asked him, how can you ever do that? His plan was actually based on a sociology theory. This theory is called the broken window theory. It goes as follows. When you have a broken window in a building, you need to fix it fast. Otherwise, very soon, all windows in that building will be broken and Soon after, the entire neighborhood will be run down. Why does this happen? Well, the thinking is that when someone sees a broken window, they imagine that nobody is taking care of that building. And it's very easy for someone to pick up a stone and break another window. And then the next, and then the next. And this becomes a vicious cycle where things go out of control. So this was the basis of Bratton's plan to solve New York City's problem. Malcolm Gladwell, the best-selling author, wrote about the situation in NYPD and what Bratton did in his book, The Tipping Point. There he mentions how Bratton made sure that the New York City trains were painted every night when they came back. So when they used to go in the morning, they used to be spick and span, absolutely newly painted trains. And when they used to come back, there was graffiti, and they used to make sure that it's painted again. The whole point was to use the broken window theory to prevent people from using more graffiti. Similarly, Bratton went on a crusade against quality of life crimes. But that was not enough. He also had a plan to avoid major crimes. For that, he had a different model. He held that major crimes take place when drugs, guns, and prior convictions come together. So his plan to fix major crimes was by preventing these three things from coming together. And in order to help the force prevent guns, drugs, and prior convictions from coming together at any one location, he provided immense resources to the department. He not only provided better guns, but also better uniforms that allowed to improve the morale in the force. He fired corrupt officers and set priorities of the department right. Most importantly, he instituted a process called CompStat. It stood for computerized statistics. This allowed the force to collect and share data on every precinct. This allowed the force to prevent precursors of crime from coming together. The same process allowed every precinct commander to see how well the precinct was doing in preventing crime, in fighting crime. The results of these actions were astounding. Within the next 2 years, New York City witnessed a major reduction in crime. In fact, in the next 18 to 24 months, New York City accounted for over 60% decline in national crime reduction. What it meant is that for every 10 crimes that were reduced for the entire country, 6 were reduced in New York City. By any standard, this was a major success. He created New York City as a safe place that remained safe in a very sustainable manner. So when you visit New York City next time, do remember that it was Bratton and the NYPD that turned around the city. Bratton went on to become LAPD chief. Later on, he was a consultant to the Scotland Yard. And finally, he returned to NYPD as commissioner recently in 2013. This is an example of a strategist in action. In the next segment, we will learn from this story, what is it that's needed to become a great strategist. The story of William Bratton and the turnaround of New York City was an excellent story of a strategist at work. It showed three critical skills needed to becoming an effective strategist. The story shows that Bratton brought three pieces to this game. Number one, he brought effective mental models. The models of the work that allowed Bratton to see how graffiti is the same as what happens when a broken window is seen in a neighborhood. This was an example of effective mental models at work. Number two, his ability to pinpoint the core issue and big levers in that situation. He identified that minor and major crimes were the highest or the largest or the core issue in that situation. He wanted to go after them. To identify that drugs, guns, and prior convictions led to major crime, he was able to find the biggest levers in that situation. This ability to identify the critical levers and a core issue is the second skill that is needed to being a strategist. And number three, he brought a robust process to help achieve the goals. CompStat process was a key enabler for the department to collect information and to take action when things were not working according to the plan. These three skills mirror the key capabilities needed to be an effective strategist. Number one, strategic thinking skills. Number two, strategic absorptive capacity. And number three, strategic anticipation process. Strategic thinking skills allow you to uncover the core issue in any situation and identify the biggest levers in that situation. It is not something that people are born with, but it is a skill, it's a thinking skill that you acquire over time. I have been teaching workshops on strategic thinking for the last 10 years. I find that most people are able to learn the skill. And the more flexible thinker you are, the more easy it is for you to learn and build the skill. I will discuss this in a lot more detail in the next episode. Number two, strategic absorptive capacity refers to the absorptive capacity to make sense of a situation from a strategic perspective. Now, absorptive capacity is the capacity to absorb something, right? So a stone has zero absorptive capacity for water, but a sponge has a very large capacity. Here it refers to your ability to make sense of a situation, to absorb that new information that's coming in to make sense of the situation. To give you an example, if you know nothing about industry structure and how it impacts profits in an industry, news about, you know, a changing industry structure will mean almost nothing to you. I mean, it will mean something, but you will not understand how this news will impact the profits in an industry. In a sense, you would have low absorptive capacity in that situation. It refers to your ability to quickly conceptualize a mental model and see the situation or the world you are in from that model's perspective. A mental model is a way to distill a situation or a very complex world down into a reduced form, into its very essence. And then once you have that reduced form model, you can then use that to solve problems. Now, Bratton was an avid reader of management literature even before he took the role of NYPD chief. This allowed him to build a massive absorptive capacity in many of the strategic issues in business. So when he used broken window theory, he was indeed bringing a conceptual model to a very messy situation to make sense of it. For you to be an effective strategist, you need to have a large repertoire of mental models that you can use. It is almost like what a chess player does. You know, a chess player has a large repertoire of board layouts, which he matches in his mind with the current layout on the board. A strategist does this with mental models. This season of the podcast will help you build absorptive capacity or strategic absorptive capacity. Finally, a strategic anticipation process refers to a strategy process. Such a process allows an organization to embed the skills of a strategist into systems and processes. Such processes help you gather the right data, process it in useful ways, and create an action plan. It doesn't help you replace a strategist, but it helps you make the strategist become more effective. It helps the strategist by delegating some of the strategy work so that the strategist can focus on high value-added tasks. For example, in my book, The Dark Side of Innovation, I detailed a strategic anticipation and response process that you need to have if you want to deal with disruption in a systematic manner. Now, that's an example of a strategy process. If you don't have this process, your organization would rely on a handful of people for that work. Such people-dependent process or a person-dependent process is not as reliable as an organizational process is. We will also talk about what is needed in a strategy process to make it more effective in a later episode. So to recap, an effective strategist needs three skills. Number one, strategic thinking skills. Number two, strategic absorptive capacity. And number three, a robust strategy process. Stepping back, you should take away three things from this episode. Number one, what is a strategy? And what does it mean to be a strategist. Number two, how Bratton turned around New York City as the New York Police Department chief. Number three, the three critical skills needed to be an effective strategist. This was all about the essence of a strategist.